You're listening to the Hammerfisting Podcast on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Hammerfisting Podcast.
Hammerfisting Podcast.
With Louis J. Gomez.
You don't know much about this guy. He's like another all-American dude, but he's supremely racist. He's like a professional wrestling bad guy. He can push people's buttons and get them to like it.
On the Riotcast Network.
And now I'm just sitting here fuming.
The Hammerfisting Podcast. Hammerfisting.
Hammerfisting!
Isn't this a theme song for a pro wrestler?
CM Punk.
The old one, right?
Is this CM Punk's old music?
Yeah.
Ah, I love CM Punk even more than I do. I don't even watch pro wrestling anymore, but everything I hear about CM Punk is just awesome.
He's the best.
He fucking punches fans and stuff.
Welcome to Hammer Fisting, episode 146. Yeah. 146.
It's a good song. 146er.
It's a good song. Killswitch Engage, keeping it metal. We've been coming into fucking Hootie and the Blowfish and all these queer ass bands lately. We're gonna make it a little metal every once in a while.
Don't say queer ass bands. They're bands that have given us so much joy in our life.
Yeah,
that's just as much as Killswitch.
I would use the term fag shit.
I'm your host, Louis J. Gomez, real ass dude, Howard Stern of MMA Radio, the proprietor, the maker, the fucking king, the god of the Hammer Fisting Podcast.
Now you're being stupid.
And I'm hanging out with some layabouts who
and
do nothing.
And your Jesus, Godson.
Who do nothing except fucking cause me anger and fucking...
Except be funny on a comedy podcast.
Yeah, while I
How
do...
How dare we?
While I do everything else for setting up the podcast, and then you guys give me shit and record me freaking out.
I didn't want to tell you this, but Bobby Kelly offered me your spot on the podcast, and I said no, because Lou's going to freak out, so...
I don't give a fuck, Vic. I don't give a fuck.
Hey.
On behalf of everyone, we just
Oni, not yet. Don't speak.
We just want to apologize.
Oni, you're talking a little too much already. Calm down. You will be included in a minute.
Unincluded.
Co-host Chris Tinkle.
Yeah!
Vice President Chris Tinkle.
Woo!
Sergeant at Arms Vic Mysterio.
Yeah.
As much as we fight, I'm still loyal.
You are. Put a bullet in somebody's motherfucking head. And the prospect, please include me himself, co-host. Oni Pettis.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen?
I don't like how clear Oni sounds.
No, ladies.
Everyone's kind of like blending into the music. Like, Tinkle's voice sounds like an assorted guitar.
Always. Yeah, it's awesome.
Oni's voice just really pierces through everything.
It's a bit annoying.
No, it's not bad. You got a good voice, dude.
I kind of like that I have like a wah-wah pedal on my ass. Every time I talk, I like it.
It's not a wah-wah. It's really more like a fucking like a grungy, distorted...
Annoyance pedal.
Yeah.
You like.
Dude, I like how he's only talked shit one time in his whole career, and he just aimed his venom at me.
No, not my whole career. My early days were very angry.
Let me fix this, Tinkle, because I'm going to tell people a story. A story about Chris Tinkle out in San Francisco, okay? This is a legendary story before we get to your story, okay?
Hold on. Before we even get to tell Chris Tinkle's story, guys, on today's show, because you're MMA fans who are listening into this shit.
I'm bringing it back.
We're talking UFC on Fuel 8.
It was so awesome, wasn't it?
Oh, amazing.
Well, the last two fights.
We're going to talk some Ronda Rousey today. There's some rumors about her. A couple fighters were cut. A couple fighters were arrested. A couple fighters were injured. There's a representative from South Dakota that compared MMA to child porn. There's a lot on today's show.
And he was on the money, mind you.
He nailed it, by the way.
He nailed it.
By the way, his fucking...
That's exactly how I look at it.
If you read his thing...
I know, I did. I read it.
And then every MMA fucking columnist, they tried to come back at him, and he's just way better at writing than us fucking weed head fight fans. He's just nailing it.
It's like one of those things, kind of like fucking Alex Jones. It's like, I don't believe a thing he says, but he's so good at talking. I'm like,
he's
oh,
good at it.
You're right. They did put a chemical and turn all those fucking fish gay in Kansas. It really happened.
And of course, we got a great interview today with Josh Punk Thompson. Tinkle was out in San Jose.
Yeah. It's Hammer Fisting Live.
Doing Hammer Fisting Live. And he had him and Danny Acosta from Fight Club on Sirius XM. He's a writer for MMA Junkie as well. They did a live interview.
You mean a legitimate MMA journalist / radio host?
That Lewis totally shit on because he didn't know who he was.
I don't remember who he was. Whatever. We'll talk about it all in a minute. This is all coming up on today's episode of Hammer Fisting. Here's the thing. We're going to play the audio at the very end. The audio, guys, when you listen to the end, the audio's a little hollow because they used the mic in the room. I guess it wasn't plugged into the board.
Yes.
So it's a little hollow. We're going to boost the levels a little bit. It sounds fine. I listened to it today. It's actually a great interview. Really funny. Punk Tompkins funny, dude.
So cut out early.
Yeah. Like that one part, it got, I mean, we'll like talk about it later if you want, but it got awkward for 1 second when we were talking about that Eves Edwards fight. No, we're talking about Eves Edwards, and I said that he fucking dropped his hands, and he gets quiet and goes, I didn't drop my hands, in all seriousness, and I was like,
your mother dropped her hands when she was holding you when you were a baby.
Well, everyone knows that story. It's on my fucking Wikipedia.
Vic, do you want to tell Tinkles? Let me give a setup.
No, why Vic's telling this story.
Trust me on this one, Tinkle.
Here's what happens, okay? Tinkle, every time he comes back from the West Coast, first of all, a couple things happen. Number one, it becomes Hollywood Tink. The confidence just is oozing out of his ears and out of his nostrils.
I'm fucking beat down, dude. Come on, let's be honest.
Every time he comes back,
I left with confidence after that Riotcast show. So fuck.
First of all, Riotcast show last Tuesday night, unbelievable. Neither of you guys were there, Vic and Oni.
Thank you guys.
I had a show last minute.
I was watching Ultimate Fighter. I couldn't go.
Well, I guess that's more important than supporting Chris Tinkle. Well,
then I took Tinkle to a concert.
Yes.
We hung out afterwards.
Well, I'm stating a fact right now. You guys are arguing with me like
you know why? Because I'm not a slave to your things, and I wasn't going to let you guys be marginalized. I wasn't going to support that. It was about you guys. You go in there, and Hammer Fisting's at the bottom of the rung. I can't live with that.
We weren't at the bottom of the rung. They actually made Tinkle.
Not anymore, though.
They made Tinkle follow Bobby Kelly. Yeah. Which, but by the best moment of that night is Bobby fucking dude. Bobby just annihilated. He slays.
First of all, it's his show. They're all there to see him.
Everyone's there for Bobby. They're losing their shit. He fucking kicks the door down.
In the show,
let me tell you,
he goes on third to last.
He goes third to last. Tinkle's following him. Then Florentine is next.
Can I say what happened though? I show up and fucking Rob Spence, who like doesn't know stand up. He's like, "Hey Tinkle man, I'm excited to see you, dude. You have an awesome spot. You're going on at the inn, right after like Robert Kelly and my." Jaw dropped. I'm like, how is that?
Because that's
an interesting spot.
New York Tinkle and Cali Tinkle. Cali Tinkle, I'm like, fuck Bobby Kelly. Suck my dick, Bobby Kelly. New York Tinkle is all his head down. He's fucking nervous, got his hands in his pockets.
New York Tinkle also knows that anytime you do a 7-minute guest set, you follow the fucking headliner who's doing 20 to 25, it's never an ideal spot. I can do it, but it's not an ideal spot.
And even Saskatchewan, Canada, Tinkle knows that's a bad idea.
Dude, fucking Eskimo Oni knows it's not easy. It's why he has a sword.
Please include me. I haven't talked
so,
yet.
So, fuck you.
I had some of Oni's salmon jerky for a good luck in my pocket. Yeah.
Some seal. He was wearing a sealskin coat.
Fucking seal jerky.
So here's the best part. Bobby fucking kicks the door down, annihilates, levels this place.
Murders.
And then I go back up. And Bobby's like, from offstage, Bobby's like, dude, who's going next? And I was like,
who has to follow me?
Who has to follow me? And I go, Tinkle. And he goes, you started laughing, dude.
He goes, he's going to bomb.
Oh, I said that. That's what I was like. I was like, oh, you guys are about to watch Chris Tinkle bomb. And then I got a big laugh. I was really just trying to play laughs off the crowd. Then Tinkle went up and Tinkle fucking leveled the place. Tinkle fucking rode that Bobby Kelly wave and fucking smashed it out. It was awesome.
It could have went the other way really, really easily.
Oh, yeah. Probably was good. If you would have went before Bobby, it probably would have went the other way. It was, for some reason, it's just, you know what it was? They were like really ready for real comedy at that point.
Yeah.
And they fucking got it. They were attentive. They were ready. They were into it. So Tinkle smashed. But Tinkle went out to the West Coast. He did this live show with, our boy Christian Reyes.
Yeah.
Rob fucking F. Martinez.
Rob F. Martinez, yeah.
By the way, Tinkle surrounds himself with Latinos. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, he does.
Dude, all of us. I fucking thought you were kidding. And I was like, oh my God, my whole podcast.
Dude, his whole podcast. Yeah, like, everybody that was on the show, Tinkle is fucking, I guess Latinos accept Tinkle.
Every girl I dated until I was about 29 was
a dude.
Hesekin. And had a dick. Yeah, here, put your balls on my face.
So Tinkle told us a story, and my point that I was making was, Tinkle, why do you always come back with hero stories? Okay, and my idea, look, if you have a story.
I thought you think it was funny because I was, because 200 no, extra black Vic, people no, were at
Vic
a Chris
is gonna
Tinkle
tell
show.
Your story. Vic's going to tell
I'm
your story.
I thought you thought it was funny. I thought you undersold it. All right,
that's the thing, though. But Tinkle's idea of a good story is a story where he kills. Whereas my
that's
idea
funny.
Of a good story is a story where you bomb or you get beat up.
And you have your hand on some dude's dick. I know your idea of stories is way different from my
so
idea.
So Tinkle
of a good
story. Was headlining at the Cow Palace in San Francisco. All right.
And let's it be was, honest, it's at a rock club
packed
in my hometown.
There. No, look, I'm
Cow Palace.
It was a Cow Palace, number one. Okay. It's the Cow Palace.
You tell the story and then I'll do my commentary.
Director commentary.
Like, or the truth.
You were at the Cow Palace. 14,000 people. The same amount that were at up there in Japan watching
200.
UFC on Fuel 8.
Probably
no.
88 paid. Go ahead.
About 14,000, trust me. Tinkle has no setup at all here. Everyone's bombing. The crowd's just getting restless. Apparently they're very ethnic, which I don't want to get into, but black people don't like Tinkle. That's what I want to tell.
Latinos love Tinkle. Black
Latinos,
people.
Black people think that Tinkle's off.
Well, not anymore, Tinkle, man. Not through these goddamn.
Black people think that Tinkle is mocking them with his giant nostrils.
He's like, you know, you see this guy, you're like, why is he ahead of me? Why has he progressed through life? Why has he been handed everything on a silver platter? Why is he banging hot chicks named Voldemort? We don't know. So Tinkle goes up, right? And they start booing him off the stage. And Tinkle's just sitting there silent, man. He's wearing his hoodie up, head down.
Like a ninja.
They're booing him. They're saying, get off, you cracker.
I believe the exact phrase was,
kill yourself,
white
cracker. Yeah, that's right.
Kill yourself, wee thin.
Yeah, that's right.
Fucking Ritz.
So Tinkle drops the hoodie. He grabs the mic and he says, I'm going to make you all like me. And he just dropped 15 minutes of the pure
N-bombs.
Comedy gold.
In bombs.
At one point, he said the N-word for a minute and a half straight.
That's right.
I'm kidding, Vic. Look at Vic getting nervous.
I'm not getting nervous.
Vic, hard R's.
Standing
hard R's.
Standing
every one
applause.
Of them. I don't end on A's.
And afterwards, hack shit. They made you an honorary black person.
Yes.
And you went down to Compton.
I was given, I'm 73 N-words that I could use now whenever I want to.
That's what happened.
That's a story.
Chris Tinkle. He's a legend.
I mean,
that's how he gets. That's the reaction he gets over there at the Cow Palace out in San Francisco.
Are we done?
No.
All right, good.
We're just going to sit here in silence.
By the way, we have a new sponsor. What I'm going to do is we're going to do our regular sponsors.
Why did I know about
minutes.
The new sponsor?
Well, I don't know about the new sponsor.
Calm the fuck down.
Yeah,
I'm going to announce a new sponsor after the break.
I also have a
who is it?
New sponsor also. I'll
just tell us now. We can't.
My new sponsor is a Skinny Cow ice cream sandwiches. It's 180 calories.
Tinkle has a new AA
it's
sponsor.
Delicious.
His name is Javier. He loves Latinos. You're doing good, Tinkle. 33
day
chip.
That's a really funny joke. Oh, dude. Okay. Yeah. So this is something that happened that night too, and this is not triumphant. A black dude. So that was like my 6 months of sobriety at that show at the Cow Palace, asshole. I'm on stage, and this black dude
hands me a
double shot of fucking Hennessy on stage, walks up and hands it to me. And I'm like,
this wasn't the time
to
start letting out your
white
guy bullshit.
I go, I can't. And he's like, come on, man, just have a sip, bro.
Come on, white boy.
Yeah, and I'm like,
we love you.
I'm all, I can't. I don't drink. And then
why did he talk like Brother Love?
I love you,
Tinkle.
And then out of guilt, I gave him like a CD, and I felt horrible. And the whole crowd kind of went, well, he's not going to drink. And then I didn't get into it.
You know what? I like their hero story instead of that one.
Oh, man. And you know what else he did?
But
he said, you can have one night with my wife, and I won't judge her at all.
And then I snorted coke off her black ass. Yeah, it's way easier to find coke out of black ass. Did you guys know that? Way easier. You get every speck.
Surprised you turned down the Hennessy, man.
Yeah.
So am I. There was a lot of pressure, buddy. Let me tell you.
No, I know. A room full of black people judging you. Dude. You got your white guy problems.
Guys, make sure you visit our sponsors. Go to the latest episode of HammerFisting.com. At HammerFisting.com, right above that latest episode, you are going to notice a link for Amazon.com. Make all your purchases through that link. You can buy some Hennessy. You can buy a CD, a bottle of water, a green sweater, a Maverick CD, a remote control, a lamp. You can buy anything you want.
You can buy some extra cords for our podcast so Lewis doesn't lose his shit when he comes home.
You know what? I was not in the fucking mood. I didn't realize that B plugged the cord back into the...
Go to SoundCloud.com/Vic
Actually,
Mysterio.
No. It's going to be on this episode. It has to be.
Yeah, we should put it in the episode.
Maybe I'll open the episode with this. Maybe I'll open the episode with me freaking out about not being able to find the cord. By the way, this episode of this version of Main Street has like porn star chicks in the background. They're just showing their boobies.
Yeah, it's like a dude with like a fist in the ass. As Bob Seger's like, down on Main Street.
Also, guys, right next to that link for Amazon, you're going to notice a link for Gamefly.com. Gamefly.com is the Netflix of video games. You can get unlimited video games. You get them in the mail. You send them back. You can keep them and buy them. You can play them for them as long as you want. Check this out. You sign up for the free trial through HammerFisting.com. Through that link, you get 2 weeks, 15 days, 2 free games to try it out. You can cancel it at any time or you can keep it forever.
Yeah.
But if you lose it, they will hunt you down and they will murder you.
They will murder you.
And you can give like a fake name and a stolen credit card and you can have them forever.
Like Columbia House?
You can keep them forever. Oh, dude. Yeah,
remember that back in the day, Columbia House?
Yeah.
Dude, every animal in my house had their own Columbia House account. Miss Kitty Gomez. I swear to God, I'm not lying. 10 tapes. Skid Row, Slave to the Grind, Beside Ourselves.
Damn, you were coming in early. Tapes?
Tapes, bro.
Jeez. This kitty is a big Phil Collins fan.
Sue Studio.
That'd be fucked up if Columbia House one day just comes looking for all of us.
Oh, I know, right? Chris, you never paid for your Jim Blossom CD that you got.
Also, guys, go to roadathletics.com if you're in the New York City area. Sign up for a free class, a one-on-one training session, roadathletics.com. If you like the class, keep the membership. You get a free month of membership if you mention Hammer Fisting. I actually had to put my membership on freeze because my foot is all fucked up right now.
Oh, it's so good.
I've been swimming.
You didn't finish MMA classes?
Shut up, Tickle. I'll still beat you up. Also, guys, make sure you visit Riotcast.com. It's the home of the best podcast in the world. We are part of the Riotcast Network.
You didn't kick a human, by the way. You kicked a bag.
Yeah.
Filled with
you
want
to know why? Because humans don't kick back.
Dude, I thought you were going to see all these fucking cuts as your opportunity to fucking sneak into the UFC.
And also, guys, make sure you visit MMADiehards.com. MMA Diehards, they do a lot for us.
Down on Main Street, kind of. Hard R.
Hard R.
MMA Diehards.
Diehards.
Hards.
It's not called Hard Artists.
What?
Really? That was the worst joke you've ever said on this podcast, Nico. We're struggling already, guys.
I know. It's awful. I think halfway through my story, I knew that. I was like, this is...
I want to plug two more little things. Right, and this is it. Now we're going to get into fucking MMA because we don't have that much time today. It's going to be a little bit shorter of a show. We're still going to do 90 minutes total with the interview at the end.
I think we should probably cut it down.
Just wrap it now.
We're not giving our best.
Guys, that was the show. 146. You guys have been great. Thank you so much.
Make sure you go out there and buy... Skinny Cow ice cream sandwich.
Guys, if you want to see me and Tinkle perform, if you're in the New York area,
shit, it's getting
Rockland,
real right now.
Westchester. Let me fucking say it. Rockland, Westchester, New Jersey area, Orange County area. Me and Tinkle are going to be at Levity Live next Tuesday, March 12th. Oni's upset that he's not on the show.
I was not included.
I will be in town, black people.
Lewis asked them if I could open the show.
Well, I didn't. No. I didn't necessarily ask. They didn't say anything. They said no. They didn't say anything about you. They asked me who I wanted. And they said they wanted people that had been to the club before.
Right.
So you hadn't been to the club before.
I've been inside the club.
So I have Vic hosting.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to put Lewis on the spot in 1, 2. Can he have a guest set?
Maybe. I can find out. I don't know if he can. I mean,
you should just come hang out, dude.
If you come and hang, I will try to get you a guest.
I will
set.
Give you. I will shave off 2 minutes.
Tickle has
set,
no
minutes.
Power to do anything at this club.
Minutes.
This is the second time he's
you know
ever
what?
Been performing
Oni,
there.
I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna call them. Don't worry. On my behalf. On your behalf.
If anybody can get me on that show,
I'm pretty sure I can.
Vic's a closer.
I'm a closer.
I like
closer,
how I just man. Offered to give Oni
A, B, C.
Fucking two
no,
my minutes.
No.
Always two my minutes.
Closing.
No.
I offered to give you 2 minutes.
I don't take no guest spots.
Well, Dave Smith is already hosting the show, so there's the
see,
hosting
so
spot
go.
Is not available. But well, so you don't take guest spots?
No. I
really?
Don't take guest spots out of town like that? What do you want me to fucking
45
gas
minutes
too?
Away? You jerk off?
Blowing you guys
hey,
on
folks,
the way
this is comedy inside baseball.
We're not gonna
comedy
make you.
Let me plug the show.
Like
right,
Oni just thought that we're gonna make him find his own way on the bus. No, to go. I mean, obviously you come with us.
Fucking bus like a homeless guy.
Everyone, shut the fuck up.
Have you ever done a guest set before?
Shut up, Tinkle.
I'm telling about comedy.
Shut up.
We're all gonna take the bus together.
March 12th, Levity Live. This guy right here, real ass dude, Harold Stern of MMA Radio, Luis J. Gomez, headlining. Tinkle's doing the middle spot. Dave Smith, former Hammer Fisting co-host, is going to be hosting the show. It's your first taste of Hammer Fisting Live. We haven't really done a Hammer Fisting Live show, so come out and see us. It's going to be filthy. It's going to be raunchy. It's going to be fucking fun. Very racist. Very racist. So if you guys want to come out, please hit me up on Twitter or Facebook. The other thing I wanted to plug is on Facebook. It is my birthday on April 1st.
Congratulations.
So... shut the fuck up, Vic. Let me fucking do
That's perfect, man. You're born on April Fool's.
I told you congratulations.
What I'm doing is I'm doing a countdown to my 31st birthday. 31 days of awesome. Every day on Facebook, for the past 4 days I've done it, and I'm going to continue to do it up until my birthday. I'm going to post a video of me being awesome in one way or another.
And tonight, you're going to take a punch from me.
No.
Straight in the stomach.
Actually, that's a good idea. That's a great idea. I already put out my video today, though.
All right, we'll do it.
I memorized the poem.
Can I punch you, though?
Yes. I memorized the poem Jabberwocky, and I recited it into the camera.
You're going to take a hit from me, and you're going to show enough restraint not to think that it affected you, not to tell people it affected you.
I think it's a good idea, actually. I might take a fucking punch from one of you.
Oh, wait. No. From one of us?
I will punch
from
you
me
right from in the kitties. Vic.
Tinkle, it'll be like a kitten.
No,
slightly swiping at you.
All right.
Oni has arthritis. Me, I'm the only one legitimately with enough power.
Vic
to do
looks
that.
Like he looks like the Thing in the Fantastic Four. You have the same skin tone as that rock guy.
It's clobbering time.
All right,
it is clobbering time.
So all the Please Include Me fans, go out there to Levelly Live and complain.
Oh, shut up. Oni, I will fucking hook it up.
Call
Levity
Live.
Shows.
Say, we don't want.
Come to a guest set.
No, because the show is being advertised Oni as a Hammer Fisting show. And
well,
it's not really.
I mean,
weren't on the rag.
It's like advertised as Lewis.
This is really sticking with a theme right there.
The rock of the show.
I want to do that show that I've been talking about, and I'm gonna exclude Oni just to think of me.
All right, look, we're getting into MMA.
I won't. I'll get
guys, I'm we're getting into MMA. MMA radio.
Well, I kind of wanted to say that Ebony Magazine is going to be doing a special on me next week.
That was worth it. That was worth it, Tinkle, to fucking to prolong more MMA talk.
That's why the Cow Palace calls them every year.
They're calling the article the closest thing to our African natives.
All right, UFC on Fuel 8, guys. If you're a Pride FC fan, it was a very good night.
What, Lewis?
Look, I
don't
even
the Pride.
I don't give a shit about Pride. I'll fucking say it right now. Pride was fine back in the day. When I first got it, we all watched the early UFCs. I really got reinvigorated into the UFC. I'd say about 8 years ago. That's when I really got back in. It was right before the Ultimate Fighter started. Me and Dave were renting like the knockout videos from Blockbuster Video. That's when we got just really, really into it again. On my MySpace page, I remember I put like an Ultimate Knockouts like...
back when you were dating Dave Smith.
Yeah, me and Dave Smith. We're good friends. And I remember I bought a bunch of Pride FC videos and I was like, all right, this is fine. But I never really was fucking like, it never really just grabbed my interest. There was a few guys that I was fans of from the UFC that I would watch in the Pride videos.
Did you see what they revealed about Miracle Krokop's Pride stuff?
What?
The manager said that that the Pride went out of their way to help him. They would set up matchups with him and they wouldn't tell his opponent he was fighting Krokop at all.
Oh, really?
And they just had all this shady stuff. They would handpick specifically who he fought. You know, I mean, for one thing, the guy fought Alberto Del Rio when he was Dos Caras in a mask.
He was wearing a goddamn wrestling mask, yeah. And he had no idea.
Well, that was my problem with Pride. It was like, it wasn't a real sport. It was spectacle more than it was sport. It was set up by a bunch of pro wrestling promoters in Yakuza, and it wasn't like it wasn't the same thing that modern day UFC
That's
is.
That's exactly what set up this podcast.
Spectacle, not sport.
Yeah, spectacle, not sport. The Yakuza's behind us.
But
why do you think we have such low quality production value?
One of the guys has to wear like a mask because no one can see his face.
Yeah, it's
sorry, I'm just moving Tinkle's foot out of the way of the.
You guys can't see it in the studio. There's a kid making shoes here.
This is all done in Japan.
But I will tell you, here's the thing. There's certain guys that came from Pride, Vanderlei Silva being one of them, Shogun being another one. There's a handful of guys
Rampage.
That came from Pride. Yeah, Rampage.
Henderson.
Who, they're old school guys who were able to compete with this new level of UFC guys, and that made it pretty exciting. So you find yourself rooting for Vanderlei Silva, even though I'm not like a huge Vanderlei fan.
He's a losing record in the UFC.
If he's fighting somebody like Brian Stann, I'm rooting for Vanderlei Silva. And did these guys...
You hate America.
...fucking deliver? Holy shit.
Well, it was like Pride versus horrible game plans.
I mean, look, you,
when you're 7 foot and you're not throwing a jab at a dude who's 5'10", you're a fucking dummy.
All right, can we talk about Vanderlei Silva versus Brian Stann
yeah,
first?
We're going to go main event down. Come main on, everybody down. Calm
fucking
down.
Tickle just jumps the gun. He you wants to fucking...
It's Hollywood
I like
Tickle,
this.
Man.
He's aggressive. It's straight off of the West Coast.
Tickle's coming out with a Vanderlei Silva style of podcasting
this
today.
This is headliner Tinkle, not New York Tinkle.
Tinkle's yeah. just tucking
Black
his
people
chin.
People love me. I'm included.
Tucking his chin, biting down, that's and right. swinging for the fences. He doesn't give a shit.
That's going to be $100.
He just stole you. He's so confident. He just straight
I
up
stole
your stole
country.
Your
left
rate.
At 11.
Tinkle's
tonight.
Like, I'm a hammer third of MMA radio. Please include me. Yeah. Andy Kaufman's going comedy. He's just throwing all the catchphrases
out. Steal
dude, how whack are we? We all have catchphrases. We suck.
Wait, I don't have a catchphrase.
You kind of do, yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, you don't. You have all of ours.
Yeah, I steal all yours.
So, look, main event, dude, Vanderlei Silva, you got to give it to him. He knocks out Brian Stann in the second round.
Stan's game plan was awful for
no,
that fight.
Dude, he fucking gave him that fight.
He did. He totally did. If he really wanted to fight him, he should have been smart about it. He got too aggressive. You could just see. He just wanted to swing with him like that, and you don't do that.
Like, dude, any guy who's anyone who's figured him out just punches Vanderlei like straight down the middle, and they win. And Stan, for some reason, was like fighting like a fucking sprinkler head. Like
yeah, but you
Vanderlei.
Know what? I get it. Look, Brian, this was a one-off fight for Brian Stann, 205 pounds. He doesn't want to fight at 205. This was more of like this was a fight for the fans. And after Brian Fitch got after John Fitch got cut, after you hear all these rumblings about boring fighters that are going to get cut, no. I think that Brian Stann came out and said, you know what, I may lose this, but I'm going to put on one of the most exciting fights. I think the energy in the air in Japan was fucking electric. And
well,
I think
Silva
were...
started. He set the tone. He went in there. He was wound up, and he just started swinging. Then Stann just—you could just tell—got caught up in the moment.
Yep.
It's like it's exactly what the Diaz brothers try to do with people. They try to goad him in,
right?
And he totally just fell for it.
Right. Yeah. But look, at the end of the day, what would you have rather? Would you have rather a Brian Stann win with a boring victory where he took him down and he neutralized his fucking guard, or he just picked him apart from the outside, or would you rather him to go to ape shit for two rounds and just go fucking nuts like he's listening to a Slipknot song?
He would have won if he would have gone down the middle and thrown.
But you know what? It means more for Brian Stann to fight like that than it does for him to win a boring fight. You because know, the fight doesn't have any implications at 185. It doesn't. It's a 205 pound fight. Both these guys aren't even 205 pounders anymore.
Yeah, well, look, I just.
Vanderlei is because they.
He said he's debating staying at 205.
They just announced UFC 161. He's fighting Forrest Griffin.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
They announced that?
Yep. And
whoa!
Then Rashad Evans versus Henderson and Little Nog versus Shogun.
Wow, Jesus. That is a card, dude.
Was it all light heavyweights?
Yeah. Those three fights, yeah.
Forrest
Griffin
that whole
is done, dude. I mean, that's like a loser leave town match, pretty much. Vanderlei versus Forrest. No, for both of them, because whoever loses.
Well, I think people are kind of counting down the days for Vanderlei Silva.
Town match.
People are counting down the days for Vanderlei Silva to announce his retirement. But every time people
he's
do
still
that,
great to fucking
he
watch.
Comes back and he just fucking annihilates people. I don't mind that at all. You know, I think I was on Fight Club last week.
And he looked great.
And they brought up the Ruben Villarreal versus Tank Abbott fight that's happening. It's like, I don't know. Like, why do we start watching fighting? What was it? Was it because they were fucking, there was a title on the line or these crazy implications? No, it was because you have these two guys who are going to go into a cage and beat the shit out of each other.
And Tank was fucking funny.
Tank was an animal.
Remember that one time when like fucking he was doing commentary on his fight?
Time out, Tinkle. Why the fuck are both of you guys texting?
Nope.
Because I'm looking up the info right now. Shut up. I'm looking up the Forrest Griffin thing. I want to
Oni's
see about
texting.
That.
Oni is breaking the rules.
I was texting.
This is why you're not included in our live shows, Oni, because you probably text from backstage.
I'm texting the lady.
Yeah, we're like on stage and he's texting like, oh,
you know what?
I'm way better than
Tinkle,
these motherfuckers.
Tinkle, please include me as yours for this rest of this episode. That's right.
This episode will go on protest then.
I was actually, I was going to kind of go with fuck all y'all motherfuckers as the catchphrase.
Say it, Tinkle.
Please, I don't need to beg people to include me. How about this? I'm included, fuckers.
No, that's
yeah. I like that one.
You didn't have to throw the expletive at the end.
So, Brian Stann, obviously, look, I think he ends up gaining more from this victory, from this loss, than he would have from a boring victory, which was the only way that he was going to be able to beat Vanderlei Silva.
Did you get kind of sad when he was like really kind of upset?
He was bummed out. I didn't watch any of the post fight stuff.
Oh, dude, yeah, he cried.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like,
that's out of excitement.
He's like, on my heart. Oh no, no, it was because he's a loser.
He was proud of that.
I've had the same fucking.
He heard that Oni. He heard that Oni wasn't on the Levity Live show.
Yeah, those are tears of joy, guys. Brian, like, I'm gonna be at that show.
Brian Stan post fight going, please include Oni.
Like, yeah. Stan's,
I may,
like,
have lost, but please include Oni.
Yeah, dude, damn right.
Yeah, Stan's like, can't Oni sell like. Someone's merch or something? Can you still?
Any of us had merch.
None of you have fucking.
Tinkle has a fucking code to buy his album merch on iTunes.
Right here in front of me. Hard copy, baby. Right,
oh, you
here.
Have a hard copy? Can I have a sweat?
No, because you're going to take it out and you're going to break it and you're going to piss me off.
I was going to fling it across the room. All right. Mark Hunt versus Stefan Struve. I mean, dude, here's another one. It's like, look, Mark Hunt's an old school guy. He was, what was he, 7-8 in the UFC before this fight? Or 8-7? Or in his MMA career?
I think he was 7-8. He was a losing record for a while.
For his MMA career. That's crazy, dude. And he's on a 4-fight win streak in the UFC's heavyweight division. You know,
wrecking shop.
He broke Stefan Struve's jaw. Did you see that?
Yeah.
You see that photo?
Those Getty photos are great.
First of all, I didn't realize how good x-rays have gotten.
Yeah,
it's insane. It's like you're looking at a fucking skull, dude. His jaw is split in half. I didn't realize that's the way jaws break, is a split in half. What's so funny?
It's like you're looking at a skull. It's like x-rays have gotten.
You can see bones
skull,
now,
man.
It's you like can see looking, all
it's
of it.
It's like you're looking at the thing that's like inside the under the skin. It's like an x-ray.
Fuck you guys. Don't make fun of me.
X-ray.
It's like you're
skin.
Looking at a legitimate skull. Before, it looked like you were looking at an x-ray.
My doctor last week did a drawing depiction of a bone in my rib.
You're just wrong. You're actually just wrong about this, Vic. I fucking.
It's so funny. Oni thought it was funny too. You're just like, technology has come so far. I haven't been to the doctor
Lewis,
10 years.
Lewis, but I have your back. I agree. It looks exactly like an X-ray.
No, it doesn't. Go fuck yourself. Look, the Stefan Struve, he broke his jaw. Mark Hunt at this point is 4-0 in the UFC. People are talking about a fucking title run for Mark Hunt. That's crazy.
Did you hear what else though with Struve? He was apparently, like, the Japanese medical people, they didn't have any kind of pain medicine. Dude, first of all, his fucking tooth was inside of his cheek. Oh, also, Jesus.
According to him,
they had no pain medication, so he had to take like an hour ride to the hospital to go get his jaw fixed and had no pain medication.
And they wired him up. He flew out the next day.
And that's why Stefan Struve is
Real Ass Dude of the Week.
You should have refused to do it today.
I'm a company man at the end of the day, guys.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
I got absolutely.
Real Ass Dude of the Year, brother.
That was good.
What?
It was a Creed version of it.
Oh, Stefan Struve, I hope you're watching.
Stefan Struve came out and he brought it. Mark Hunt just brought it a little bit harder.
How do you let a dude who's 5'10" get inside of your? Wait, I'm excited.
Don't start banging the microphone. You know how bad that sounds on
it's
the fucking
emotion,
podcast.
Buddy.
All right, get back on track. Let him get back on track.
Sorry.
No, I mean, do you think it was weird? I mean, dude, I'm a huge Hunt fan. I was cheering for him.
The banging on the microphone is only 0.002% my fault.
Yeah, I saw those pictures on Twitter, man. It looked like a fucking.
Of Struve?
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand when you're 7 foot, how do you not? I don't know how to fight, and I know that you jab. If you're the bigger dude, you jab on the outside, and how he laid him inside, I could not. I mean, I was cheering for Hunt, and I was still like, what is he doing, dude?
To credit Hunt, though, Hunt played it perfect.
His ground game
was
amazing,
dude. The way he jumped in. And then, his ground game, you're like, every time they went to the ground, you're like, what the f*** are you doing?
Oh, I went. Oh,
I censored
over.
Myself. Yeah. What the
did
fuck
you
are you
yourself?
Doing? I did. I don't know why.
Look, Mark Hunt was
he
powerful.
Just did, huh? He's like, I was like beeping.
Mark Hunt was fucking strong that night. Mark Hunt took a beating, kept on coming.
Oh my God.
Mark Hunt was honestly, it was a beautiful performance by Mark Hunt.
That's the closer, guys.
Well, now you just ruined your closer for Levity Live.
Wait. He still has my hat's off, and I don't have a future joke right there. That's your TRT, buddy.
That's your TRT. My testosterone replacement therapy is my hat joke.
They're all. Now, is it fair that
so
Lewis
I'm
going to
buy
her
T-shirt,
joke?
And there's going to be a hole in the shirt?
And my sister, she's fat.
Diego Sanchez.
He was given the gift that keeps on. You all the Pride guys really fucking tried their hardest that night.
Looked,
Gomi looked better than he ever did.
Gomi looked great. Yeah. He looked like the Gomi of old. Diego Sanchez, I guess, was given a controversial split decision. Look, I don't know.
It was a gift, dude.
Was
he
it
lost.
That controversial?
He lost the last two
or
rounds.
Is Jesus on his side?
Yeah, he does love Jesus, dude. He's not praying to Buddha or whatever fucking god that Asian's praying to.
Yeah, some but you savage.
Know, he but they know who he doesn't.
Some
fight.
Fucking golden statue in a temple somewhere, yeah, up a long fucking flight of stairs, like the biggest flight of stairs you'll ever see.
Damn right.
Apparently, we really love Jesus on this shit.
Yeah, damn right. Goddamn right. We're Latino.
And Diego Sanchez also likes carbohydrates. Did you see him?
Yeah, he was 2 pounds over.
But he was chubby, dude.
Well, here's the thing. He came in 2 pounds over, and in the beginning, before the fight even happened, he said, I don't want Gomi to bitch when I beat him about this 2 pounds because I lost $24,000. Because they fine you 20% of your purse, and they give it to the other fighter.
Okay, first of all, he lied. He was not getting fined $24,000.
Yeah, he was.
Diego Sanchez did not... Dude, he's not... No, because that's like $127,000. He didn't pay...
No, it's not. That's only 20%. That's one-fifth. So that's...
Carry the one.
Yeah, $127,000.
Multiply times three.
Dana White said he did not get fined $24,000.
He said that?
Yes, because he probably only got paid $24,000.
No, yeah. I think Diego makes more than
that. No, he's not. Diego makes decent. He doesn't make more than...
Do you know if they give them their win bonus as well? Because maybe it's...
I don't think so.
They only give you your win bonuses now after you...
No. I'm saying, do they give 20% of his win bonus as well to Tenkanori Gomi?
Oh, yeah, that too.
Probably.
Yeah, so it might be that much. He might get 60 to show and 60 to win. Diego's a pretty big name, dude. He's been in the UFC since The Ultimate Fighter 1. That's like 8 or 9 years.
Well, I'm just... Dude, fuck you! Fucking Dana White said it also.
You know what? Dana White.
Dana White said that he exaggerated.
What's that?
Dana White.
Real-ass dude or the... Oh. Yeah! You snooze, you lose, motherfucker. I'll be at Liberty Live, right, black people, next Tuesday.
March 12th.
March 12th.
Black people have really inspired Chris Tinkle today. He's out of control.
Tinkle's gonna start singing Sade.
Yeah, I love her.
All right.
Take it down. Gosh.
I'll be there.
Yeah, Tinkle is very high energy today.
Yeah.
Yushin Okami defeated Hector Lombard. God damn it, Lombard. Yeah. Would you stop shitting the fucking bed? Look, Lombard was... Yushin Okami was Yushin Okami of old. He wanted to get the victory. He fucking fought a boring fight. It just sucks. Like, what are you going to do in that situation?
Did you see what Chael said?
He said that he should be cut.
He should cut. He said it from a business standpoint, his contract's too big. If you're going to justify the Fitch thing.
He makes a shit ton of money.
Who, though?
Lombard.
Oh, Lombard, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to cut Fitch.
How shitty is that? That was like Bellator's number one guy for the longest time before the new relaunch.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I can't get into Bellator that much. I'm fine with Bellator. I'll watch the fights from just hanging out.
All right.
But it's like the guys just aren't on the level of the UFC guys.
They're finally developing it up, but they used to have... Not on the people on that level. They have to work on that now. And now we all believe. By the way, Cesar Gracie, going back to the Sanchez fight, Cesar Gracie said Gomi got robbed. Our old buddy.
Oh, yeah? I don't even know who you're talking about.
Cesar Gracie said Gomi.
Who's that?
Gomi got Takanori Gomi, actually, who lost to Diego Sanchez.
Actually, I believe that the quote was 10, 9, 8, Gomi got ripped off.
Actually, he used the term slant eye.
Oh, my God.
Come on, bro. Way too far, Oni.
Someone's drunk on...
This is why Oni's
blubber.
Not on Levity Live, because he just takes it too far.
He's too far. Oni is the most unadulterated, uncensored comedian out there.
Goddamn right. Plus,
too much.
He's the new Andrew Dice Clay.
Oni Dice Clay.
I have slant eyes, so I can say it.
You have a slant mouth. Oni, you really have the mouth of a South Park character.
Oni can make fun of Latinos, Asians, Eskimos. He's in the whole thing.
When
Oni smiles, it really looks like a South Park character where they just do the little triangle smile.
Yeah, I only go halfway on one side. Do you guys hear me on Bobby Kelly's podcast?
I'm your new promoter, by the way. Oni is not to be reckoned with. He is a force.
Please include
And
me.
He is going to be headlining other shows that aren't at Levity Live.
I believe he's going to be at the New Jersey Fairgrounds on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock.
And it'll be the biggest show in New Jersey.
It's going to be him and a Creed cover band just going back and forth.
I'm only doing 30 minutes. I gotta go work the zipper.
All right, other results. Rani Yaya defeated Mizuku Hirota, unanimous decision. Don Hyung Kim defeated Sire Bahut. Unanimous decision. That was the main card. Whatever. I'm not going to talk too much about the rest of the card. I'm going to take a break anyway.
Let's talk about our boy, dude. It was a good fight, dude.
Oh, yeah. Caraway. God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is everyone that we like lose?
You think he got... That was really close, though, man. I mean, I don't... It was really...
Because you're jinxed.
Did you think he lost?
He lost.
I mean, you think he lost?
He did lose.
He lost.
And that's what happens when you fucking have a woman Stroop like lost. Misha Tate, who's more absorbed about her career, training him.
She's not training him, dummy.
I'm messing around with you. But he lost. He seriously lost. And you said, like you said about Todd Duffy, oh, he's two or three fights away from a championship. Not anymore.
He's three wins away from being through them talking about it again. He's 135 pounds. Okay, it's a fact, dude. They don't have anybody at 135.
Well, he's at the bottom of that list.
He's going to have to start finding chicks now.
That's it. He's going to have to go to bands.
I would rather watch chicks fight than 115-pound fighters any day of the week.
Yeah.
Any day of the week.
That's not for you. That's for
Matt. Not any day.
I would specifically rather watch 115-pound chicks fight because those are the hot ones. Not these big, brawlic, fucking 145-pound bitches.
145.
It's like two ages.
No, 145, dude.
Gina Carano was 145.
She's a big bitch in real life.
Yeah, dude.
I know she is.
She's a big bitch.
She's built like a Dominican bus driver.
joke of the day.
Boom. All right. Look, guys, we're going to come back in a few minutes. We got a lot more to talk about. Ronda Rousey in Hollywood, Bellator results. Got some fucking cool stuff going on. We'll be back in a few. Hammer fisting. Peace. What's up, guys? We're back.
Sister Christian, oh, the time has come.
And it's a good song.
That you're the only one to say, okay.
Love a song.
Where you going, what you looking for?
Is this dedicated to Miss Teen USA?
We're starting with the Miss Teen USA porn. Excellent. That only happens like once.
Once every cycle.
Once every like 2 years, you get a fucking, just an awesome fucking sex tape out there.
Yeah, well, that was, it's not awesome for one thing.
It's awesome.
You think so?
If you think that Paris. Look,
oh, no, that was not good.
I thought that Paris Hilton was great. I thought that.
Pam Anderson was good.
Pam Anderson was.
Oh, well, she's a pro. She's a fucking cock savage.
Excellent. Unbelievable, Pam Anderson.
I mean, she was born to do that.
Yeah. I thought that. What's her name? Kim Kardashian. Excellent. Fucking excellent. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So these come out once in a blue.
I didn't quite appreciate
that. The Miss Teen USA. One was it's not a sex tape. She was in a fucking porno after she had her crown.
No, she didn't. No, she didn't. What she did was she was like in foster care from the ages from 12 to 18. She got booted out of foster care because the system, when you turn 18, you're out on your ass. She had no money, so she did this sex tape. And then 3 months later, she entered all these pageants and she started winning.
She said in the interview portion, which I saw, they had.
She did pageants, but
they said Miss Teen USA, and they wouldn't say what state.
Yeah, but she didn't win yet. She was doing like the
Indy circuit. She was living like Oney Perez. She was a fucking prospect.
She was a prospect at the time. I feel bad for her now.
What, it was covered in jism? Yeah.
Post.
No, the guy. Well, I mean, they're all ugly at the end of that, right? They all start off cute.
No, they look great. They look like a window that's just been fucking sprayed with water.
Like a fucking, like a Cinnabon. Delicious.
It's like a window that, well, you can't wipe it off with a paper towel. You have to get a squeegee and so.
It's like morning hue.
Get your nose out of your fucking phone.
No. I like how he's better
I haven't
than us,
seen
dude.
It yet.
We start talking about porn and you, and you're like, oh.
Did we not talk about it before? I'll admit I saw it. And I'll admit I liked it. I just can't get on this wagon, you know.
Now, did you watch it or did
as
you
as soon as I said it looked like as soon as I said it looked like a fucking Krispy Kreme, he was way back in.
I was like, oh yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah, man, she got glazed.
All right, guys, speaking of women that should be doing porn, Ronda Rousey, did you hear the rumor that they're going to try to offer a role in the Hunger Games too?
It's actually going to be the third sequel. Porn.
The third sequel.
Yeah, because the Hunger Games 2 is already done. But there's like a part 3, and that's like a 2-part. These assholes are making like these like end of the stories. They're making 2 parts to get double the money. So it's one of those. So she'll actually be signed for part 3 A, B. So there's like
A and B. But is she actually going to do it, though?
I mean, Dana White's saying that she shouldn't because he's a fucking asshole. But, I mean, why would you not do it?
Well, look, I think that... the point that Dana made was, like, look, she's going to have... She only has a limited amount of time. She has a limited amount of time as a professional fighter. You know, don't go and waste those years. Don't go and waste those years acting and taking 6 months out, 8 months out, 12 months out to go and fucking film a movie when you only have a short window where you can actually fight. Yeah. She can act for the rest of her life. She's going to be hot for the next 10 years.
But you also only have a short window to like make that movie because, dude, there's like five...
She's motoring, Tinkle.
I just watched 18-year-old Miss Teen USA suck a dick for $2,000 to pay bills. Dude, there's other girls who want that role. Like, if she passes on it, she'll...
Are you saying that Miss Teen USA New Hampshire, what was it, Delaware?
Delaware.
Should be in the Hunger Games?
I'm in Delaware. Remember?
Dude,
Wayne's World?
She's actually going to be fine, dude, because a lot of people...
Hey, yo, I'm in New York. I got a gun. Let's go to a Broadway show. Hookalakaliki. Come on, you want to lay me? Pass the point, mahalo. Goon, chikita, goon, chikita, goon,
chikita, goon, chikita. I feel like I masturbated to that video so many times, I feel like I know her.
What, Wayne's World?
No, Miss Teen USA.
Wayne's World 2?
I feel like I'm dating her.
Game on!
Game on.
Car.
I was going to name Wayne's World references for the rest of the episode.
Swing.
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 If you're going to spew,
I mean, do you
spew
think?
The list.
Ed O'Neill was great in that movie, by the way. Just last point. Remember when he would keep doing the story about Vietnam and how things would change in him? And yes. The camera would matter. He's like, you never know how those days would go. Did.
So look, do you think she's going to go the way of Gina Carano? Because we were debating this last week on Fight Club, because I was on XM Fight Club last week. You guys didn't know.
I listened to SoundCloud.com/SiriusSports.
By the way, you know what bugs me? Tinkle now has a SoundCloud account. As much as he's been shitting on you, he went and made his own SoundCloud account now.
Yeah. Dude, because we had a hilarious conversation in the car on the way back from the improv. It was really rated X, horrible conversation. And I was like, dude, this has to be. So we put it out there. And
rated X? Basically,
Rob F. Martinez asked, hey, Tinkle, if George St. Pierre said that he will do a recurring segment on hammer fisting every week for the rest of your life, would you let him come on your chest? And I said,
for the rest of your life,
what is with us?
Only once.
It's on me.
We're talking about this poor 18-year-old girl.
She's not poor. She made $2,000.
She's crushing it.
That's a lot of money.
You know what I would do for $2,000? Are you crazy?
And then we move into, would you take a load from St. Pierre?
All right, look. Do you think,
the honor of hammer fist?
Do you think that Ronda Rousey is going to go the way of Gina Carano? And because Gina, she got beat up in one fucking fight, and then she was done. She's done with fighting. She's into acting.
Can I be honest? And I'm a fan of Ronda. I'm a fan. I've spoken to her. I'm very important.
Was it on XM Sirius's Fight Club?
No, it was on a bigger outlet than that. Let's be honest. But let me be honest with you. Let me say this. Carano, not that great an actress. She's a glorified stunt woman.
No, you're right about that.
Ronda.
Did you know, though? She's
entertaining. Has talks like Chael Sonnen. But there's also something about when Chael Sonnen, there's this point where Chael Sonnen goes over the line as well, where he becomes like a cartoon. Rhonda doesn't have it in her to be an actress without them editing the crap out of it and doing the same thing.
Let me tell you something. Acting
I don't know that.
Is a natural talent. I think you can learn to
I know you were on Guy Code. We get it.
I think you could learn to be an okay actor, but I think good actors, really good actors, it's a natural skill set. The same way funny. You can't really learn funny. You can learn how to be an okay comedian.
Yeah.
It's a lot of smart people have become okay comedians because they understand.
No, I believe you said smart people.
They understand the structure of a joke. They understand what setup punchline is. They understand what irony is. But I think with acting, you never know, dude. She might be a fucking great actress. The biggest difference is there's a couple things.
Is she going to win the Academy Award for playing some piano as a kid? What was that? What was the one? What's her name that won that? She's on True Blood now or something. She's not going to win any awards.
But that
She's
fat chicken
gonna,
Precious
mean,
did.
Dude,
but
she got offered Hunger Games, bro.
It's a
she
major
offered...
difference. Exactly. It's not fucking Gina Carano and, you know... Speed Racer 5
Gina
or whatever
Carano
the fuck she's been in.
Haywire. And
Fast and 6. But
and
but
you
look
know
what?
But
Hunger Games is a
no,
big,
I was
big
trying
movie,
to tell you,
dude.
Dude, she's going to... You fucking idiots. I'm trying to tell you that she has a cameo in the new Superman movie.
Because
they're not
she's banging
it.
Superman.
No, she's fucking Wonder
She's
Woman.
She's making love that. To Superman.
But I'm trying to tell you that they just signed like the Justice League now. Your friends at Latino Review actually just broke the story that the Justice League movie is going to be Christian Bale as Batman.
You're thinking about my other buddy, Vic.
Let him finish the story.
No, go ahead. I saw it.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I'm actually interested.
Don't get mad. I barely interrupted there. You've done more than that. Go ahead.
No, it's fucking Christian Bale, and then the dude's playing Superman, and then Gina Carano's going to be
Is she definitely Wonder Woman?
Well, they just signed Bale, and they just signed the dudes playing Superman. So they were like worried that they were going to have to get all this new Batman and new Superman and new, but it's going to be those dudes.
Yeah,
and
I mean, look, Gina's been acting now for 3 or 4 years since he got destroyed.
You made your point, though. I didn't.
Shut up.
He just interrupted.
Vic, we have to wrap this in like 15 minutes.
So, I mean, I can interject when I interject. Don't
fucking
freak out.
ADD Central over here.
I don't have ADD.
I just like, dude, hey, guys, as I'm taking breaks from masturbating, I read news.
By the way, it's very easy to not interrupt Tinkle. He fucking stutters. All you got to do is wait for his when he gets caught on a word. Interject right there. He'll catch you right back in. It's fine.
Easy. No problem. There's nothing. Lewis knows how to do it. Freaking out a little
exactly.
Dude, God forbid Lewis the non-comedian comes in and says something.
Listen, we let Oni come in here every day. What are you talking about?
I'm included. What the hell's wrong with you?
And by the way, if you are in a night next Tuesday, Oni's going to be selling nachos at the Hammer Fisting Live.
Oni Pettis, I'm the nachos.
Boom.
All right, so look, I think good for her. I do agree with Dana, though. Give it a few years. Also, just go take some fucking acting lessons for a few years. Why come out and shit the bed in your first role if you're not even an actress yet?
Here's an idea. I mean, they redo the Mod Squad, and it's Carano, Ronda Rousey, Rampage Jackson. Come on, think about that.
That wasn't that bad, Tickle. You can't be bad.
And they spell it like Trauma Combat, and they go the Mod with MMA.
Mad Squad?
Mod.
Can we edit out that plug for Trauma?
I can plug them.
Yeah, we can plug Trauma.
Don't buy
trauma
shirts from Trauma. They got lice.
Also, guys.
But they make good jizz rags.
They don't have lice, guys. You can't actually say that on a podcast.
Oh, we can't libel them?
Chris Tinkle told me that those shirts have lice. That they make out of lice.
No,
literally.
I didn't. I said that they make great jizz rags.
Oh, they store them in rice is what you said.
Yes.
I didn't know
it
that.
Makes the cum bounce off the shirt.
All right. Couple fighters have gotten in trouble. Matt Riddle officially cut from the UFC for testing positive for weed for the second time. Over Che Mills overturned. No contest. Che Mills just signed to Cage Warriors.
Two
fights in a row that he got caught for weed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Jesus, dude.
Oh, and after he told this whole thing about how...
See, you jumped on me. Go ahead. Go ahead, though.
Because I was rolling, baby.
Yeah, go roll.
I was rolling, baby.
Hollywood Tink.
Dude, because fucking Matt Riddle, because he just had this interview saying that he had it figured out and he was going to stop smoking marijuana three weeks out. And anyone who smoked weed...
It's a month. Everyone knows it's a month.
That's what I was like. No, yeah, it's like 6 weeks or 8 weeks. I mean, it's in your system forever.
It depends on how much you smoke. It's supposed to say in at least a month in your system.
Yeah, but he's an everyday smoker.
Yeah.
Well, look, let me put it this way. He's an idiot. He didn't figure it out. He also commented, said that the UFC called him, he wouldn't go back now. That's in the report today. And then he said the UFC only likes retards.
He said he doesn't like potheads. They don't like people who smoke weed.
Well, that's not true. They like Diaz. Well, not really like Diaz, but they use
They put up with Diaz.
They give Joe Rogan millions of dollars every year to announce.
Yeah, and he fucking
is a podcast about weed.
Open fucking pothead. Completely open.
Well. You know what that means? That all of you guys have an opportunity in life, okay?
We do. Also, guys, Daniel Strauss, who was the number one contender for the, the welterweight title in Bellator?
Yes.
He broke his hand a couple weeks ago.
No, featherweight.
Feather?
No, 170 pounds.
Not 170 pounds.
No, it's not 170. He's right. I think he is right. It's featherweight. It's featherweight.
Way to go, Joshua.
Whatever. Nobody... Joshua.
I don't know why that
one at all. He broke his hand a couple weeks ago. He was arrested in Florida a few days later for having 20 grams of weed on him and a whole bunch of MDMA, which is a pure ecstasy powder.
Molly's son.
Yeah.
So he's fucking apparently into some trouble right now.
He was chasing Molly.
How much did he have?
I don't know how much Molly he has, but he had 20 grams of
weed. Does anyone know where the Molly's at now?
Yeah, the funny thing is
the cops in Miami are doing it before fucking selling it.
Before they announced the arrest and all that, he got replaced by the guy that just beat Rad Martinez, one of those random Russian guys that Bellator has. They have a lot of Russian guys.
Amagamagov.
That's Akhmadinejad, but you're almost there.
Wait, Was it ounces of weed or grams? Here?
Grams, 20 grams.
Oh, it's only like an ounce and a quarter, right?
That's it's not much. It is.
Yeah,
it's an ounce and a quarter, exactly. Goddamn drug addict Tinkle. Tinkle's drooling right now. His fucking fingers are getting itchy.
Yeah. I used to sell weed.
Yeah,
I know.
By the way, so that Shyamalanov guy, he's going to get his title shot like randomly like 4 weeks later.
Shyamalanov. Okay.
All right.
We refuse to learn Bellator and fighters with hard names. I'll learn fucking Sire Bahadurvardaraza. I won't even learn him.
No, you won't.
But I'm not going to learn Ahmed Mamarababov.
Well, if you have an easy enough name, if it's like four letters, like that Syed guy, sure.
Done. If you know what? I feel like if you have more than three syllables in your name, we have every right to fucking butcher it. Every time.
Shamalamadov. Shlomenko. I'm fine with Shlomenko. It's all like two syllables almost.
Alright, I want to talk about this.
I just want to do some Molly now.
This is actually,
that's all I'm thinking about.
This is the biggest news of the week, that it happened like a day after our last episode. We didn't get to talk about this. Jose Aldo, first he came out and said, I don't want to fight Anthony Pettis, which was just a pussy-ass move. I hate that. I hate when fucking fighters said, I don't want to.
We don't know the truth behind all this.
He came out and said very publicly, I don't want to fight Anthony Pettis. He has not earned a title shot. Yet he was okay with Frankie Edgar getting a title shot after never fighting a featherweight.
We didn't talk about this on the podcast.
But let me tell you,
and I made
more.
This point to you. Go
there's
ahead.
More. Okay,
I'm the one that made that point that you just stole right now.
I know. We talked about it on the podcast, Dickface.
Vic is ornery today. I love it.
He really is.
Vic is ornery. Oni's quiet. I'm a loose cannon.
You are a loose cannon.
I'm a real ass dude.
And I'm allowing the dynamics to develop.
Jose Aldo came out and said, fine, I will fight Anthony Pettis. It's officially happening in August.
You're right.
It's official.
Yeah. Yes.
But if he beats Anthony Pettis, he's moving up to lightweight permanently, gets an immediate title shot.
And he gets to fuck Anthony Pettis' sister.
Yeah. She's probably hot.
In the octagon.
There's no way that Anthony Pettis and his brother are that beautiful, and then they got some fat, gross sister.
No. That's it.
She's Miss
She's
Teen.
She's probably got flowing hair.
Miss Teen.
She's in a porn.
Arkansas.
Mexico.
Miss Teen, half cute, half Puerto Rican, half Mexican.
So
beautiful.
That's big news, dude. Jose Aldo's
going to That's a big sash.
If he can beat Anthony Pettis, he's going to move up to lightweight and fight for a title.
And if Pettis wins, he has to stay and defend the title at 145 for
and
a while.
And Aldo's not allowed to go back down.
No, that's not true.
Ever.
And if Tinkle wins at Levity Live, he starts hosting a podcast.
Oh, dude, if I kill, I'm unplugging the mic, putting it in my pocket, and walking off stage.
And it's over.
And the show's over. Yeah.
He is full of some shit and vinegar right there, huh?
Well, black people aren't going to like Lewis like they like me.
First of all, there's not going to be any black people at my show. Let's get real.
It's Rockland.
Are you crazy?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm going to go on the message boards.
First of all, there's
blacks. No black
people. Black
people
can't read message boards.
Oh, my God.
They're not allowed in.
All right. If they steal a laptop and it's on that page, they can. They'll figure it out. That
what
was
black message boards are you going to go on?
I miss
Yo,
Julian.
Motherfucker.
This is the only time I miss org. Julian. I'd feel less bad about this if Julian was here.
Yeah, we really can get nice and racist when Julian's in the room.
What happened to that guy, by the way?
Oni. See you later, buddy.
Why don't you just pretend Julian's I'm black?
Back. Where is he?
I mean, I was gone the weekend, but.
Did he quit the podcast or did he get kicked off? I want to know this.
He
kind of quit.
He didn't like that Lewis was making rules about what we could talk about.
That's not necessarily the way it went down.
Is that true? What a pretentious asshole.
Kind of. I mean, he didn't take too well that one day that we got into it. And I think it was like the second time within a month or something that we had to like end the podcast.
Me and Tinker got into an
we
argument.
We had a bad month, dude.
Me and Tinker got into an argument, a couple arguments within a month, and we deaded a couple podcasts, and he was furious about that, rightfully so.
I was in those.
But at the end of the day, it's like, look,
not rightfully
dude,
so. Well, you know your place as a prospect.
I mean, I was mad too, but I have more invested in this than he does.
Yeah,
and
don't cut off your nose to spite your face. If you want to be a part of the podcast, be a part of the podcast. I don't know what to tell you.
You just messed up, man. You could have saved that phrase for Day Awesome number 5. That was a good one. You just fucking wasted it.
You could have opened the day with that.
All right. Did you guys read the quote from South Dakota Representative Steve Hickey?
Please read it in its entirety.
All right, I'll read it right now.
No, it's worth it. Can you set it up though?
All right, I'm gonna look at my phone while you read it.
Fucking, who is this dude for one thing?
He's a representative. He's like a minister or a pastor or something.
You're a pastor.
Yeah, but how did this? Yeah, but how did this quote happen? Like, how did he?
They were talking about legalizing MMA in South Dakota.
Why is he want, all right.
So he didn't want it to be legalized. So he wrote, MMA cage fighting is a child porn of sports. The psychological community will tell you that the desensitization of violence works exactly like the Wow.
Desensitizations.
When he tried to correct me and he failed.
Desensitizations.
I got this one, guys.
Desensitization to porn. You know how porn progresses. A peek at topless isn't enough.
First of all, this it all guy has knows to come off.
Then a pic is not enough. It goes to video, and then to virtual, and then to the devaluation and mistreatment of women, human trafficking, and sex crimes against women.
How come you didn't say cum shots?
There's definitely cum shots
next
in there.
Next thing you know, Miss Teen USA.
Violence works the same way. Boxing wasn't enough, so they took the gloves off. Then they allowed kicking, kneeing people in the head, and elbows to the face. Then they put a cage around it. The point is to knock the other guy unconscious while pay-per-view crowds cheer it on. Why not nunchucks? In Rome, they gathered in coliseums to bring out prisoners and entertain themselves by making them fight to the death. That wasn't enough, so they brought out the helpless and the hated and brought in hungry lions. Crowds cheered. Yeah, he nailed it. He gets it. All right, good.
Yeah, that's exactly what...
Yeah, buddy. Well, what do you want me to fucking say? Look, here's the thing. All right, it's kind of dumb.
And by the way, no one's asking to go to your fucking horseshit state and go fight.
Yeah, I would truly... I wouldn't even give a fuck if they never legalized MMA in South Dakota. Who gives a fuck?
Dude, we should have Oni because he looks like he's like an Indian from South Dakota.
Yeah, I can go Oni talk to, go, to the chief.
You should give like the fucking point counterpoint.
Yeah, I'll be like Val Kilmer in that fucking one movie where he was a half breed.
Willow?
Thunderheart.
Thunderfuck? What was it?
Yeah. Thunderheart.
Willow.
Shut up. Don't disrespect Thunderheart.
No, it was a great movie.
By the way, you're a modern day raconteur. You're a comedian. Go out there, you tell stories, and when you read stuff off a screen, you sound like a ninth grade high school dropout.
Dude, I'm not good at reading. I'll admit that.
He sounds like
it's dead on accurate.
I don't read well. Ooh,
don't be mad.
Vic, I'll tell you who sounds like exactly. He sounds like Dermot Mulroney in Young Guns, when he's like, when you got there, the Billy the Kid, and then fucking Billy
Kid. I cannot believe you remember that name.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, Tickle's a fucking loser.
You're Dermot Mulroney. You hear me?
God damn it. Tickle Young Guns.
Me. You really nailed me with that reference.
Yeah, it takes that.
Loser. Jesus. So look, here's the thing. I think we get our panties in a bunch. South Dakota is not a state where anybody really gives a fuck about legalization of.
Plus, boxing started
MMA.
like 200 years ago. It's taken
and also,
a while.
All of the evidence points to boxing being less safe than MMA.
Right.
People are concussed way more in boxing. They're concussed way more in fucking football. People are breaking their spines constantly in other sports.
Clearly, he hasn't watched.
I think that I think there is something to the desensitization of the sport, because I remember when I was younger, before I got into MMA, if I saw a street fight, I would actually kind of cringe and I'd turn away. And now I see a street fight, I start fucking cheering and I fucking go nuts, dude.
Or you beat up a gay guy and it was a fat friend.
Dude, did I tell you I almost punched a cab driver?
No.
Like, I tried to punch a cab driver 2 nights ago.
But that doesn't sound like out of character for
Lewis.
You.
Lewis, you have a kid now.
Do you know what he did? He wouldn't.
Oh, your little innocent kid? Nothing.
He wouldn't.
Nothing.
He wouldn't open the door for me. I was driving, or he's pulled over. He's like, oh, where are you going? And I was like, Tribeca. And then he's like, oh, I'm not going that way. And then he started to pull up a little bit. There's a red light. And I was like, oh, well, you can't say that, man. Your light's on. It's against the law. And he had his door locked. So he was like, oh, sorry, I'm not going that way. And then he started to drive away. I swung at him, but it fucking missed him. And I kind of hurt my arm on the car.
You swung at him?
Yeah.
Dude, you swung at him and you didn't hit him.
Dude, you
That's
know
so
what?
So sad.
You have how many now? Many more days to your 30th birthday?
31st,
rather. Oh.
26 days?
By the way, you're the only person who's celebrating 31 years old, by the way.
No, that's the
that.
One that gets you, man. That's the one that got me. 31 is like, now you're in your fucking 30s.
Yeah, I felt better when I turned 31, actually.
But,
Tickle, that was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the 90s. Everyone felt better in the 90s.
30's the last of your 20s.
I remember, yeah, man.
He went to go see Linkin Park.
Yeah. No, dude.
Limp Bizkit's debut
happened.
Album came out.
So you got 26 more days.
I like a lit a pot. And I was at my house.
I did it all for the nookie,
the West Sprocket. And
you got 26 more days to swing at Armenian.
I was jacking
cups.
Off to Jenna Jameson's first porn. And all I
by the way, that's a great porn.
That is a great porn.
Jenna
up
Jameson, she gets she
up
fucking gets a she.
Randy
they nut,
West,
they do
the
nuts inside
one.
Of her.
Wow.
Yeah, he does.
Cream
right
cream pies, Jenna.
Can
Jameson,
I get a high five? I'm
porn.
Up here, with fucking. All right.
Wait, do you like cream pie? And by the way, I like that this guy he made a statement about porn and fighting. And that's exactly what like we've been talking about.
This is fucking.
Yeah, but
we should call this episode "Porn and Fighting."
He gets it.
He's a pastor making a fucking analogy involving child pedophilia or whatever the hell. Child porn, really, sir?
He's done extensive.
Well, one of the other things that he said that pissed people off was he was like,
two girls, one cup.
He said he doesn't like. He was like, I don't feel bad when people are in extreme sports and die. It's like they really ask for it. He said something like that. Somebody was like, all right, dude, like really, so somebody's doing motocross and they hurt themselves and die. You don't feel bad. You're a man of God and you're trying to fucking say that. So look, I get it. I get people getting pissed off, but I mean, what do you expect, dude? You're gonna have people that are opposed to the sport. It's a very violent sport. It is. It does desensitize you to violence. I drive around in fucking Grand Theft Auto and I beat up hookers with baseball bats. I'm a little less sensitive to that action because
they asked for it.
Yeah. What are they wearing out there?
Yeah.
Sport did not like that joke. So, I don't know. I think people are getting their panties in a bunch.
Sports shad, dude.
I don't really give a shit about this fucking dude. I just thought it was kind of an interesting little article. We were talking about porn. So, quick hit. Demetrius Johnson's injured. Uriah. Vic, who are you fucking texting, dude?
I'm tweeting a picture of you guys on the...
Just fucking be involved. We're wrapping up the podcast in like 5 minutes.
Sometimes I feel like I'm stepping in too much, so I'm just toning it back down.
I'm
letting you close up.
I'm going to go ahead and agree with that.
Vic.
He's a little too talking today.
We're gonna. Yeah, go ahead.
No, buddy.
All right, we're a little off today.
I'm gonna need you present, Vic.
It is. I think we're all off.
We're a little off.
He's too amped up.
Oh, I'm on the money.
I'm in the middle, which is weird, and I'm also like just wrong on stepping on you, and I don't know what to say. Yeah. I think after I said his Cow Palace story.
Yeah, that bombed.
Yeah, it really did.
You didn't plan it.
I'm not gonna lie, you know, yeah. I didn't plan it at all, and.
It would almost be like what would happen if only it was on the Levity Live show.
Yeah. You lost me at 14,000.
He lost me at 14,000.
Demetrius Johnson is injured. He's out of the fucking flyweight title fight. And now Uriah Faber versus Scott Jorgensen
is now the headlining fight.
Which is not a headlining fight. I don't get
it. It is for like free. It is for a free show, dude.
That's
Uriah
not true.
Faber's...
We just watched a free show this weekend that was way bigger headliners.
Yeah, but for casual fans, this is a big fight. For like
Faber's big enough to he can headline.
I don't know.
Uriah Faber, he gets on fucking Rosie O'Donnell's show, dude.
Who's coming up the co-main event?
The co-main event: Misha Tate and
Kat Zagano.
Was Roy Nelson on that thing? And Czech Congo.
Is that the same card? I don't know.
Oh, that actually is probably the co-main event, and I think the Misha fight.
Think Misha's co-main event.
There's a thing called Google. Let me look it up right now.
All right, you know, there's no time for you to fucking Google this.
There is. We got enough time.
No, we're rapping.
Just hold up.
I'm rapping.
Oni, buy me some time.
Oh, man, I'm only a prospect.
Listen, guys, we're going to wrap. We're going to get out of here. But right after this, we're going to fucking go into Chris Tinkle Live with Danny Acosta.
You're not gonna talk about Spider going your way?
No, we don't have time. All right. Thanks, Oni, for fucking just.
No, because you were right last week. Or remember
what?
Remember what happened?
You're just talking about it, Lewis. Give me some time.
No, we're not giving you any time. We're wrapping the fuck up, okay?
Well,
so right after this, guys, don't tune out. We have Chris Tinkle and Danny Acosta live on stage with Josh Punk Thompson.
And I think that we're going to be doing another one here. And actually, New York will be doing another one at a club to be named soon. But when the UFC is in town for the Jones-Stone fight, we'll be doing a live one.
Yeah, we'll get a fighter on stage. We'll do a hammer fisting live. We'll probably do it at the Stand. It's the only club that will let us do anything like that. Let's get real. But guys, make sure you visit our sponsors.
I don't know. I'm allowed to perform there.
You're definitely not on the show. Guys, visit our sponsors. Go to the latest episode of Hammer Fisting. Right above the latest episode. You'll notice a link for Amazon.com. Click on that link. Bookmark that link. Make all of your purchases through that link. Helps out the podcast immensely. Also, guys, make sure you guys visit our other sponsor. Go to Gamefly.com. Right next to that link. Link for Gamefly.com. Sign up for the 15-day 2-game free trial. Check out MMADiehards.com, best fucking MMA blog in the world. If you're in the New York area, go sign up for class at RonanAthletics.com. Unbelievable
Travis
MMA
Brown
gym.
And Gabriel Gonzaga.
I hate you so much. Also, guys, we are on the Riotcast Network, the best network in the world. Guys, check out all the other podcasts on the Riotcast Network. And, yeah, guys, make sure you stick around right after this music ends. We have Chris Tinkle, Danny Acosta on stage with Josh Punk Thompson with a really funny interview.
Why don't you just do this after the interview?
Because I'm not doing that. because we're just going to end it with that.
Are you going to put this up in time so that Bum Taint doesn't say anything to us?
Yes. Goodbye.
Don't believe him, Bum Taint. Don't believe him.
Bye, guys. Not included.
Yeah, I'm Danny Acosta from Sirius Radio. This is former Strikeforce lightweight champion Josh Thompson. Josh, you train here in San Jose. You're a longtime Bay Area resident and a world-class fighter in mixed martial arts. You're going to be fighting on Fox in April here in San Jose, and it's a big opportunity for you. You haven't been in the UFC in a long time, but tell us about when you started the sport. You were like fighting dudes in gyms in like high schools and like middle schools.
Yeah, first I want to say this is what comedians see, huh? Absolutely nothing. You guys are just like a shadow. Yeah, well, that's why it's easy to make fun of you guys.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just like dark, and there's like some like
asshole. There's an asshole in the back saying "fuck yeah." Yeah. Right?
Oh, was it you? No.
No.
Yeah, I'm always afraid because the fighters come to shows all the time, and I'm always afraid it's like one of you guys had too much to drink. I'm like, suck mine. Never mind, heavyweight champion.
Yeah. No, I was just we were just laughing because I was trying to figure out what you guys look at. You're looking at nothing. All I see is like silhouettes.
Well, this guy right here, I don't know if you heard me, but he was frying the whole time, so that was inspiring.
Yeah, the front guy, the front row people are fucked. Because you can actually see your guys' faces.
This is like some dive bar.
Yeah.
Over by the fucking sand pranks.
With the one hot girl. Yeah. All the dudes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't think he's baiting anymore. Yeah. That's why he's so sad. That's what I was talking about earlier.
All right, what was your question?
Just tell us about starting the sport. You were fighting in gyms. It was before there was Fox, which you're fighting on, network TV, and there was no titles or not very many back then.
Yeah, I started fighting in 98, and that was before the websites were around, like Sherdog and MMA Weekly, all these places. None of them were even around. So I have probably close to about 25, 30 fights that aren't even on record. Because the websites don't carry them, which is that's basically what the athletic commissions went by once they started developing an MMA athletic commission. So, yeah, I was fighting. Basically, what happened was MMA back in the day, we'd show up. And we would show up to gyms, we'd show up to venues, and they'd say, hey, there's a fight. And say, okay, so you get on the scale, and they'd take like a roll call, you know, like when you do it when you're like a kid in school. Like, hey, are you here? Yeah. So everyone would weigh in. And then they just match you up accordingly to whoever was close to your weight. So the first couple of fights that I had, I was fighting guys that were like probably 200, 205, 210, you know. And so I was able to win in the beginning, being small and just agile. And I actually took the time to learn the technique. A lot of guys are just like kind of the muscle heads that wanted to fight and thought they were tough. Like your local bar heroes.
Kind of like Tinkle.
Yeah.
Exactly like me.
Yeah.
Wait, so you also, I don't know if you guys know this, but his nickname is also Punk. And you got that because you used to do stuff like you would get trapped in a submission and put your thumb in people's asses.
Yeah, something like that.
Is so that what you still do?
No.
Why you won against a 205 pounder.
Yeah. No, I grew out of that little phase. It's just, yeah, it was just like I was really competitive. It was a phase. Seriously, it was a phase.
So you were in the UFC before it was big, and now you're coming back, and now it's big. You've been in Strikeforce, which is a San Jose promotion that you helped build here at the HP Pavilion. Talk about that transition. You know, what's it like going from the UFC and then out and then now back in?
Well, I was with the UFC. I was actually the last fight in the UFC division, the lightweight division, back in, 2004, right? So I was the last fight for about 2 years. They just, financially, they were bleeding money. They just didn't have the finances to fund all five weight classes. So what they did is they had to basically just get rid of the whole weight class. And so at the time, I was ranked number one in the world. As soon as they shut the division down, they pretty much got rid of the lightweights. They asked me if I was interested in fighting at 170. I said no. So I went over to Japan and fought in Pride over there for a little bit. Scott Coker was a based San Jose company, and Strikeforce, which is a kickboxing company at the time, he called me up and said, hey, are you interested in starting with me for MMA? And I said, well, I have a contract with Pride. So he made one phone call because he's a boss like that. And he just called up Pride and said, hey, I want Josh. And they said, okay. So they just signed over my contract to him, and that's how it all started. It was me. He signed four of us. It was Kung Lee, Frank Shamrock, Gilbert Melendez, and myself. So he knew that Kung and Frank were going to fight each other at 185. He knew that Gilbert and I were going to fight each other at 155. So what better way to kind of showcase your new promotion is to have already like a rivalry that was meant to be. And that's kind of exactly what happened. So I've been with Strikeforce ever since. And then now that Strikeforce was bought out by the UFC, it's like going back home. You know, I was signed with the UFC back in 2000. I fought with them until 2004. And then it's just coming home, really. I started my big time career, I started with the UFC.
Yes. So your last fight that you fought there, you actually, you like ended it on a loss. It's actually one of those fights where it's like a highlight reel, but like you call it a kick at the end of it, so it's a highlight reel, but it's not your highlight reel.
Yeah, it's not my highlight. As far as the UFC, yeah. So that was my loss with the Eves. That was just like being young and arrogant, just kind of cocky.
Yeah, because you kind of like dropped your hands, right? And then he threw this crazy kick.
Yeah, I wouldn't really call it dropping my hands.
I won't either, because I don't want you to kick yeah. me, so...
You're getting real, like, losses.
I just realized you had this thing, like...
You know what I've noticed? That everywhere you go, there's always some asshole that just brings up your last fight that you lost. You could have won 15 fights in a row. Yeah, remember that one fight where you lost? That's that asshole right there.
That was actually a question from the audience. That's this guy right here.
The guy with his arms crossed, right?
Well, you know, you lost a fight in Strikeforce, and it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. You had points taken from your opponent because he was eye gouging you. I've never seen that in a fight,
yeah.
And especially as the sport's gotten modern. You know, they took out the eye gouging and the nut shots, but you were eye gouged. What's that like when you're in a fight? You've been through a lot of different things, but what's it like getting your eyes gouged by a guy?
Well, it wasn't just the eye gouge. I had a little cut underneath my eye. He was sticking his fingers in my cut trying to pull it open. So there was the eye gouging along with I had a cut in my eye. So at the end of the fight, it looked like a big vagina on my eye. So it was like
he's trying to put his fingers in there.
Yeah, it didn't tickle though. Like I thought, it was nothing like I thought it would feel.
Wow.
I said, dude, there's no clit in there. You gotta let it go.
And you just rub the top part, and nothing's happening.
You know, what's interesting about your career is being in Strikeforce. When you won the title, you were calling out the UFC champion and you were calling out the WEC champion because there was like a few different organizations yeah. where guys would fight in. That's no longer there. They're all in the UFC. Do you feel like there's kind of gang warfare still? Like the Strikeforce guys are still repping Strikeforce. The WEC guys are still repping WEC. And, you know, you guys want to get in there and gang fight? Like,
I think a little bit. But I think also, too, is you find the guys from the WEC was owned by the same company, which is the UFC, and which is now basically they're all owned by the UFC. So, it was all, the WC was owned by the UFC, and then those guys that just came over, if you notice, most of them were doing, they ended up doing pretty well in the UFC. Biggest reason I believe is that people that were in the UFC at the time, they pretty much just took for granted the fact that they were there. And I think that's kind of what you're seeing right now. You notice that a lot of the Strikeforce guys, a lot of them are going over there and not just winning, but they're winning impressively. And that, I think what's going on is the, like Dana just said the other day in an interview, is that the guys from Strikeforce are hungry. You know, they're coming over there with a chip on their shoulder, trying to prove the fact that for years we've been saying we're the best fighters. And I think now it's just being shown. You know, I mean, Lawler just beat Koscheck. I mean, Bobby Green beat Volk. I mean, a lot of guys that are just winning in the UFC, all the guys that came from Strikeforce. So I think, but the problem, the only issue that I see is that guys like me and Gil, we're jumping right to the top of the echelon. You know what I mean? I just lost to Gil for the title. We've had one of the most epic trilogies, I think, in MMA history. And I just lost to him just recently in our third fight. But I was a split decision loss. But now I'm fighting someone who just fought for the UFC title, Nate Diaz, on 420. And so the two of us will be fighting, basically, to see who's going to end up making a run at the UFC title.
So is that awkward fighting in San Jose on 420 knowing that you're going to be the only silver dude?
Well, the fights will be over by midnight, so I'm sure we can fix that. But I mean, like, in general, I don't smoke anyways. No offense to any of you guys that smoke. I don't smoke anyways.
You just disappointed a whole room of people.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah. I'll drink whiskey with Mullet over there. With that group over there, I'll drink.
You just upset a bunch of chos in the back that are like rolling bullets, thinking they're going to hang out afterwards.
Fuck yeah.
You know, with your name being the Punk, you're known for talking smack. What's some of your proudest smack talk moments, and do you think you'll get the best of DS in the smack talk department?
No, I don't think so at all, because I really don't think I talk a lot of smack. I mean, like, honestly, I mean, maybe when I was younger, but the nickname the Punk really came from the guys at the gym, the guys I train with every day. I can talk smack to them, but as far as opponents go, I don't really talk a lot of trash. Only because I really don't want to cause like an issue between two guys where at the end, if he does beat you, then you have that asshole your whole career that has something to say over you. So, and I wouldn't ever want to do that to somebody. You know, it's like, I'm sure there's people in this sport that I don't like, but I really don't feel the need to, after you beat them, to rub it in, like, yeah, I whipped your ass. I mean, like, I beat Gil. Gil and I were friends beforehand. And a lot of guys that I fought, I try to be friends with and be cool with, because it's just a job. It's just a business. It is a sport. So,
do you think Nate Diaz will be friends with you?
I mean, no, but the thing is, Nate and I are cool. We've done grappling matches against each other. We're cool. But, I mean, obviously, they're the Caesar camp and the Gracie camp. It's kind of that. They have that attitude of, like, I can't be your friend during this 10 weeks. But then after, hey, we can go have a beer if you want. You know, so it's, I think I find it kind of pointless to do things like that. I mean, it's a lot of energy wasted on stupidness.
Yeah, you know? So like, if you guys don't know the guy Josh is actually going to be fighting, he's like, I remember when you were, like, a little kid, and there was always, like, some kids that were always, like, picking on the other kids, and you're, like, afraid to talk to them. That's like, these two guys are, like, grown up now, and they're still those dudes. And they're just angry, and you're afraid, like they always have a scowl and stuff.
Yeah, all they do is smoke weed, train, and fight.
And they're pretty good at it.
They're pretty good. They're really good.
You can, like, have an argument about weed, about saying it can actually help people, because those two guys smoke weed and run a fucking triathlon,
which is crazy, yeah. But, I mean, no, honestly, like, I mean, I have a lot of respect for both of them. They're both great fighters. They're both very competitive. And they don't like to lose. You know, if you have to build that anger up, you know, to fight someone and put on a good show, then go ahead and do it. You know, but I've never been that person.
You just got back from China. You were filming a movie. What's it like? There's a media blackout in China. You can't even, like, go on Twitter or do Facebook or anything like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of internet regulations, restrictions that you're not allowed to have. There's no Facebook. There's no Twitter. There's no, like, any YouTube. There's no YouTube at all. Any videos that stream mainstream, American news or anything like that, it can't be shown. Basically, just, you know, you know, you have to get a VPN to actually access it all. It has to be stationed through, like, another country, you know, basically that allows those things. So that's that, and then obviously there's no worker laws. I mean, when you're there filming a movie, you know you're going to work long hours, 14 to 15 hours. But this is a little extreme. I was working from 6 in the morning till midnight every single day, 7 days a week for 6 weeks. So, and then some of the nights, we had 2 days off in 6 weeks. Some of the nights we worked until 2:33 in the morning. So, and the only reason why we got those 2 days off before is because just the people that were actually working, the camera crew and stuff, they were like, fuck you, we're not working tomorrow. And then they really went on strike just for the next day. They're like, no, we need the day off, you know, which obviously I did too, so it was very understandable.
We're going to go home and not go on the internet.
I mean, think about it. I mean, next time you want to access something, like, anytime I go to AOL or Google or anything, and, like, there's, like, oh, look, there's a shark attack, and you want to, like, you want to click on it to see, like, if someone gets eaten, there's no video. It just says, no, we cannot access. You're in some country that doesn't allow it.
And the porn, they don't even show privates?
No, they don't even have porn. You're not allowed to access porn. Yeah. So there was no porn. There's nothing. I mean, you can't do anything. Like, put it this way. We were filming a movie. The movie that was filmed at the same studio we filmed at was a horror film. And the people that did the filming there, they were freaking out because they had to film it in the middle of the night so no one saw, because it's illegal to film horror films in China because they don't show them. They're illegal. So, like, the version of the movie I'm doing, right, I kill, like, 60-something people. I'm the lead in the movie, so I kill, like, 60-something people in the movie. There's blood everywhere. People are dying left and right, and it's amazing. But then, yeah, exactly. So now you want to see it, huh? So then after, I was like, hey, so a couple of the guys that were the camera crew, like, yeah, it's the China version. I'm like, what do you mean the China version? They're going to film the China version in 2 weeks after you're gone. I'm like, all right, well, what's that going to be like? So they showed me a highlight clip. So there's a clip of me, like, throwing this guy off a building, and I'm running after him, and I jump off this thing, and I, like, jump, and I land, and I roll. But then what they did is they chopped my head off and put an Asian dude's head on my body. Seriously, they're just going to CGI some other guy's head on my body. That's what they're going to use it. Because they basically don't sell Western. A Westerner can't be a lead in a movie over there. So it's kind of weird.
Wait, so, like, so...
Yeah, seriously.
I am.
I see everyone say seriously. I hear it, too. He's right. I can't hear all you fuckers. Seriously.
It's like people talk out loud. And yeah. Like, oh, whoa, how did you do that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, like, can you tell us what this film is about?
Yeah. So I'm apparently dating this... I started dating this girl online, and which I don't understand how. So she's from China, and there's no, like, online... Yeah, there's no online access. But, no, so I'm apparently dating this girl online. I go over there to meet her for the first time. And we have lunch. We meet for the first time. I'm supposed to go by her work to, like, pick her up to take her to dinner or whatever. In the process, she gets kidnapped. So I spend the whole fucking movie trying to get her back. And I've never met this chick in person, just, like, online. I'm like, yeah, fuck that. Just have her. Go back to the U.S.
You kill, like, 65 dudes over
a chick. Yeah, over a chick I've only met for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, for like a Facebook friend.
Yeah, basically. We went, we sat down, we had lunch, and then she got called into work like within 10 minutes. And she's like, I have to go. And that was it. And then she goes to work. I'm like, okay, I'll meet you later. I'll meet you at your work. I go to meet her at her work. And then like everyone in her office is dead. I'm like, what the fuck? So then I look around for her. And then I realize like the last guy that was dead is like the supervisor, like her boss. And then he like gives me her address. So I go to her house that she's been kidnapped. And then the whole movie, I spend, then her best friend shows up. And her best friend are like, she's like my little sidekick. So we like run around China basically looking for her and, you know, kill everybody in the process.
Do you get to bone her friend in the movie?
No. Her friend is a white girl, which is funny in the middle of China. She's like a white girl who speaks completely great, good English, you know, great English. So
are they gonna chop her?
Does she just cheer for white people over there?
Yeah, she just cheer for white. Fucking racist.
Rally, calm down. Some that kind of party.
My old roommate went to China, and he was telling me that people just drop trow and just poop in the streets. You see any of that while you're
home? No, over there. I saw it in South Africa. I was in South Africa for a month, and no joke, we pull up to a light, and we're sitting there, and I was there with one of my best friends in South Africa, Trevor Pringley, and I look over to the left, and there's some guy with his pants down to his ankles just shitting right in the middle of the road. So, like, we're at the light, and there's, you know, the center divides, right? The little islands, and he's there, right at the light, almost like he was asking for change. And then, but he was there, just with his pants down his ankle, just taking a shit.
He was just taking a bathroom break from asking for change.
Right there. It's really scary. Like, what some of them do is you'll go and you'll park in places, and you'll have people walking around the parking lot saying, "Hey, you know, give me your change." And you'll be like, "No, I'm not giving you my change." And then they'll say, "Well, then I'll watch your car for you." And you're like, "What do you mean watch my? No, you're not. You don't need to watch my car." And they're like, "No, seriously, I'll watch your car for you." Which means that, like, if you don't give me change, I'll steal your shit. And that's exactly what it means. So you just give, they don't need a lot. They just want whatever change you have, you know, a couple, whatever. It's called Rand over in South Africa.
They do that in the Tenderloin in San Francisco.
It's kind of like a genius way, you know, they, like, take a shit in front of you, and then you're like, dude, all bets are off. I'll give this guy whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You can have whatever you want. Take a shit in the street. I'm sorry, I can't get over it, dude. I can't believe you'll kill 65... dudes over a chick, but you won't kill one dude for taking a shit in the street. That's a movie I want to make.
All right, this got a little weird. We're talking about shit.
That's all. Let's talk about something that is a hot topic in MMA right now, and that's TRT, testosterone replacement therapy and steroids. You've been in the game for a long time. You've seen a lot of fighters come and go. What's it like to know that guys are out there and they're cheating and they're not playing by the rules and, you know, they're kind of being approved by the commissions?
I don't really look at it as cheating. I mean, my honest opinion is that if you're 40 years old and you give a little bit of testosterone to basically elevate your levels to make it equal to what it was when you were 25, 30 years old, I mean, you're just trying to keep up with the young guys. You know, those older guys got to try and compete with the younger guys and the younger generation of bigger, faster, stronger athletes. So I want to give them the opportunity to do it. I mean, some of the best fights ever in history have been done by Dan Henderson, who's 42 now, right? Yeah. I mean, he's got to keep up with them somehow. You know, he's obviously not done. He's got all the skills. He's just older. And if, you know, a little bit of testosterone replacement therapy, I mean, it just brings your levels back to what they should be. You know, it doesn't excel them beyond that. So, I mean, maybe they just need to be a little bit more stricter on regulating it, making sure, you know, they're checking it 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks during your whole camp, you know, to make sure your levels are always staying the same. But other than that, I don't really consider it cheating.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I mean, I prefer to tune in to watch guys that really want to fucking fight. And Dan Henderson always wants to fight, you know, and that's so I support those guys.
Is that something you've considered?
I'm not that old yet, buddy.
Well, I mean, you know, you're getting up there, and you're a fast fighter. You know, speed is usually one of the first things to go.
Yeah, I know, but I don't think that testosterone really helps with your speed a whole lot. It may make you a little bit more explosive, but as actual speed, I don't really think so. I think with age, your speed kind of goes, and being a lighter fighter, that's the first thing that goes. And so that's why I think the younger generation, that's why it's harder to be a lightweight, you know, a smaller fighter, is because once your speed goes, the younger generation can just beat you to the punch.
It's been about 8 years. Let the fans know what they can expect from you on 420 in San Jose in your hometown against Nate Diaz on the main card on Fox.
It's going to be a good fight. You know, like I said, I really don't, for me personally, this is, I left the UFC being the number one ranked guy in the world, being the number one contender, whatever you want to call it. I was right there for the UFC title shot. You know, that fight was supposed to be for the UFC title. And I come back, what is it?
8 years.
Yeah, eight years later, and I'm in the same exact spot when I left.
And so everything happens for a reason, and I'm exactly where I need to be. And I'm not trying to say that everyone should be religious, but I believe God put me right in this position where I need to be, and now it's just up to me to go out there and get the shit done.
Awesome, man. Well, we're actually going to wrap this up, but we also we always have a segment on the podcast. It's called the Tinkle Five, and I ask five... Get over it. What are you, first grade? My last name's Tinkle. Fuck yourself.
I thought it was called, like, fist pounding or whatever the fuck you were talking about earlier.
Oh, no, the actual podcast is called Hammer Fisting.
Okay, whatever.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes I have it coming, Josh. All right. It just makes me sad because you've actually been on our podcast and you know what it's called. That breaks my heart. Fuck.
Fisting or something, right?
Okay, so the first one is, if you could share an on-screen kiss with any actress, who would it be and why? And you're married, but we'll just say you don't know.
Who would it be and why?
And if I'm going to get you in trouble, just go ahead and give me a little elbow.
Give me a little elbow. It's a little late for that.
We'll just say I'm the Chinese girl in the movie. Next question. And her friends.
You know, I think, honestly, let me see. Man, probably like Jennifer Aniston.
Woo! Yeah. Old school, yeah.
Something, there's something unique about her, you know? She carries herself well. She's a pretty girl, you know? Still physically fit for what? Like 42, 43 years old? She's beautiful.
She's on that TRT.
She's on that TRT. She's like growth hormone. She's, you know?
Keep her speed up.
Yeah.
So if they were ever going to make a Josh Thompson movie, which actor would you like to play you and why?
Oh, probably Channing. I like Channing a lot. So, everyone that knows me...
Yourself, man.
Everyone that knows me knows I like to dance, I like to have fun, and so, and I know, been friends with him for a couple of years now, met him through Kung Lee, and he's just fun to hang out with. He's got a great personality, kind of goofy, and yeah, I think he'd be exactly who I'd want.
And I actually met him, too, at like, one of the Strikeforce things, and that dude is fucking handsome. I mean... I'm just saying.
So, let me tell you a story, right? So, I meet him for the first time, and, I mean, it was, like, the second or third time I met him, but I met his wife for the first time, and it was at Kung Lee's wedding, and I meet his wife, and I'm like, hey, my wife's there, and we're all hanging out, and everyone's having a good time, and then the next time I see him, he's like, hey, we're in Vegas, I think, at one of Kung's fights, and he's like, hey, where you been? I was like, oh, good. He's like, hey, just want to let you know, hey, you're not allowed to hang around my wife anymore. She thinks you're hot. I was like, oh, that's a compliment, because you're a pretty sexy motherfucker.
he's like a big dude. Do you think he could take you?
No, he's actually not that big. He's what, like 6'1"? He's about 6'1". He's not that big.
Everybody's 5'5". Yeah, you're beating up like 205-pounders.
Yeah, no, he's not that big, but he's a super nice guy. Good guy.
All right, so I'm actually... all right, if you could fight any person in like any time, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's a good one.
And I'll say Hitler because everyone wants to punch him.
Nah.
That's like an easy one.
Yeah. Probably like someone like Muhammad Ali. And you got to test yourself against the best and someone that they consider to be the greatest. You know, and I think definitely it'll probably be him. MMA versus boxing.
Tinkle has a look on his face. He wants to make so many jokes right now, but he's not doing it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's over.
What?
I mean, at fucking best, you put a thumb up my ass.
That's the best case scenario.
No,
I'd probably stick my finger up there, and then I would just like rusty nail you, like fish hook you with it.
And then hammer fist my ass.
Yeah.
Fucking full circle.
Something like that.
All right. So last question here before I wrap up. So if you had a choice between world peace and a world title.
Cool. World title all the way.
All right. Awesome, man. World title with Josh Thompson. Janet Costa. 15 for another 15 podcast. You guys, thank you guys for coming. I appreciate it. You guys have a good night.
All right, guys. Thanks for coming out.
Hey everybody, this is Chris the Cleveland Assassin Lozano.
This is Ben Saunders.
Hi, this is Brent Weedman.
Hey, I'm Bjorn Rebney, and you're listening to the Hammer Fisting Podcast.
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 Hammerfisting.com.